We turn to sacred scripture, to the first epistle of Peter, the first chapter, and read the first 12 verses. 1 Peter 1, the first 12 verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. We come to the closing part of this first paragraph of 1 Peter, and our text for this morning is verses 10 to 12, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The subject of Christ and his salvation is the subject of great interest. Men have spoken of it. Men have studied it much. And that salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ is a needed salvation. It is a precious salvation. And without this message, there would be no hope, no true hope, no lively hope for these Christians to whom Peter is writing, or to anyone else. But now, there is reason to bless God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter tells us in verse 3, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There is salvation. There is a message of salvation. And that message has become the subject of great interest. And that's what Peter tells us in these verses, verses 10 to 12. And so our theme is the subject of Christ's salvation. The subject of Christ's salvation, first anticipated by the prophets, secondly announced by the preachers, and thirdly analyzed by the angels. The subject of Christ's salvation, anticipated by the prophets, announced by the preachers and analyzed by the angels. We are told in these verses of several groups of the prophets. We're also told of preachers and also of angels. First, we are introduced to Old Testament prophets. These were men led by God to bring a message to the people of Israel. And Peter tells us some different things about these prophets. The first thing he tells us is that they spoke. They spoke. They were prophets, and in order for them to be prophets, they used their mouth. And they opened their mouth to speak. Who told them to speak? Did they do that on their own accord? No. God told them to speak. Who gave them the message? Did they come up with the message themselves? No. God gave them the message. They did not come with their own message. They did not dream up their own news. They spoke what God instructed them to speak. And what was the theme of their preaching and of their prophesying? What was the theme of the prophet's writing? If you could summarize it, how would you summarize the theme of the Old Testament prophets? Well, Peter tells us what it is in verse 10b. The grace of God. He tells us, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. That God would undertake to save sinners from bondage to sin and Satan. That God would bring this grace and show His favor, not because man had deserved it, but because God took reasons out of Himself to do this and to show His grace, His unmerited favor to a guilty people, through giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophets told us that He would suffer and die and rise again. They prophesied of the grace of God. And apparently there were people in the Old Testament who needed to hear that message. There were people who had come to see themselves as guilty, and they could not present anything to the Lord anymore. And so there was this message of the grace of God. And still today there are people needing that same message. And that message is preached. No, it is not preached everywhere. It is not told everyone. But it is told us, preached of the grace of God. So that a sinner who sees that he has only guilt, and who sees that he only has a bad heart, and who cannot remedy the situation, there is one who can, and who can bring him into the favor with God, even though he does not deserve it. And now when God would give this message to the prophets in the Old Testament, then that message also needs to be delivered. But how must that message be delivered? Well, of course, faithfully. How would God see to it that that message given to the Old Testament prophets would be delivered faithfully? Well, by giving them the Holy Spirit. And that's also what the Lord did. And Peter tells us of that in verse 11 when he says that these prophets had the Spirit of Christ. And so that tells us that they were, secondly, Spirit-led men. Spirit-led men. They were messengers led by the Holy Spirit, so that they would speak, and when it came time to record their message, they would record their message accurately, faithfully, and so the word that would be brought unto the people of Israel, and that would be recorded later on, would be a faithful message. It would indeed be the Word of God. And the record that was taken of these messages have been preserved for us, and have been handed down from one generation to another, and that word of God given by the prophets can still be given to us. It has been translated to us in our English language in a faithful translation by faithful translators. And so when we turn to the Scriptures, the Old Testament here especially, but also the New Testament, by implication we have a trustworthy book. the Holy Bible. So these men spoke. These men were Spirit-led. But thirdly, Peter tells us that these prophets searched the things they prophesied. They searched. You know what it is to search. Why did they search? Well, apparently, when God had given them the message, they did not understand the message themselves. They did not always understand the message, rather. It was not immediately clear to them. And so they set to study. Or there was a part of the message that was not totally clear to them. So what did they do? They set to study. They inquired and searched diligently into the things of Christ, into the things of the salvation of God, into the things that had been told of God. And so we find these prophets as anxious to learn more, anxious to understand more of the message that God had given them. So they examined it. That's the picture that Peter gives us. They looked at this message from all different sides. They investigated the message. They examined the subject. They sought more light in order to understand it more. And they did this earnestly. And they did this diligently. And they did that actively. And that is suitable, isn't it? When the Lord comes with His word to you, when the Lord comes with His promise to you, when He comes with another word to you, then it is well to know that word and to study it and to examine it, to embrace it and to seek to receive it with mind and heart. Now, what specifically did these prophets want to know? What was it specifically that they were searching for? Well, then we can say several things. Surely, for one thing, they wanted to know who it was they spoke of. Or to put it more precisely, they wanted to know more of whom they spoke of. They wanted to know more of Christ. Because when God came to them with a message, especially of the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew that they were speaking of the coming Messiah. They knew that there was only one Messiah coming. And they knew who He was. The one that was promised to come, the seed of the woman, as God had spoken of in Genesis 3, who would bruise the head of the serpent. They knew that this was the son of Abraham in whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. They knew that they were speaking of the son of David, the king, that he would be of the tribe of Judah. But they wanted to know more of him. They wanted to know more of the promised Messiah. They felt it. They looked through a glass darkly. Moreover, they searched what He would do. Yes, I think that they studied that too, and they studied that carefully. What it is that Christ would do. And they spoke much of that too. And the one thing that they knew what Christ would do was that He would come to suffer. For the prophets were privileged to speak of the sufferings of Christ. Verse 11 tells us that here in 1 Peter 1. And how they must have thought on those pages of Holy Scripture, on the sufferings of Christ. How they must have pored over Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Psalm 69, and other pages of the Scriptures. His sufferings. But they knew that there was more, too, to search of Christ and what He would do. They knew that His sufferings and His death would not be the end. They also knew that He would be exalted. And so they not only prophesied of His sufferings, but also of the glory, Peter tells us, that should follow. And they knew something of the order. First suffering, then glory. The glory would follow the sufferings, and how they must have also pored over those pages. and spoke, that spoke of Him as King of kings and Lord of lords, the One who was mighty, the One who was majestic, and that He would have dominion. Young people, you study also. You study in school, don't you? And you study over books that you have to read and that you have to know. Do you see here the prophets searching diligently? Shall we compare ourselves with these prophets for a moment? Do you see what these prophets did? They searched diligently the Scriptures. They were anxious to learn more, anxious to understand more, and they sought more light, and they prayed the Lord for more spiritual insight. Are we like the prophets? Does the Lord find us often with our Bibles, searching His Word, seeking instruction? Does the Lord find us often with an open Bible, desirous to know more, searching His Word, and searching for the Christ, whom the prophets also searched for? For if we don't, then we are not in a good predicament. That shows that we also miss the spirit of these that dwelt in these prophets. For the spirit that dwelt in these prophets always brings us back to the Word and brings us to search and study the Word. But though they studied who and what the Messiah would do, there was another question that was a burning question to them. And that was the question, when? As Peter says, searching what? Or what manner of time? This would all be. This was the burning question that was on their heart and mind. When would the coming of Christ be? When the sufferings of Christ would be experienced? When the glory that should follow? When? That was their big question. What time would He come? What manner of time? What would those days be like when He would come? What would those days be marked by? What would characterize those days when the Messiah would come? They searched to know when. And could they know? And when we look at the examples of these prophets doing just this, we find examples in the Holy Scriptures of this. For when we turn to the Old Testament and we turn, for instance, to Daniel chapter 9, what do we find Daniel doing there in Daniel 9? We find him bending over the Word of God. He has the scroll of Jeremiah in front of him. And there in that scroll of Jeremiah, it speaks about the 70 years of the people of Israel being in exile. But he is busy with that question, when? And then an angel comes to him in that passage. And that angel does not speak of the 70 years of bondage, but he speaks of the 70 weeks. And that Christ would come, and that Christ would be cut off. And that is what Daniel is searching after. When? And a few chapters later, in Daniel chapter 12, that is Daniel's question again. The Lord has told him in that chapter of great things to come, and about the salvation unto everlasting life. And He also tells him of the destruction of the wicked. And then Daniel asks in Daniel 12 in verse 6, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? In other words, when would this time be fulfilled? That is his question. That's the question of the prophets. For remember Moses, Psalm 90, another prophet, in verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? He asks. Now, why was that their burning question? Why do you think when they turned to the Old Testament Scriptures, this question, when, was their burning question? Let me use an illustration. When a bride anticipates her wedding day. And she longs to know more about her bridegroom. And she longs to know about what he does. But then she especially is interested in when they will be married. And so she counts down the day. And she speaks about the day. And so these prophets, they were busy with this question, when, because they wanted to know when. They were longing for Christ's coming. They were longing for that promise to come, and they were hoping that it would be in their days. Habakkuk, we find in his watchtower of faith, also with this question, I will look until the Lord comes with the fulfillment of His promise. That was their question. Do you think that they also received an answer to this question? For that was their burning question. When? Yes, they received an answer to this question. For Peter tells us, fourthly, about these prophets, that they were shown that Christ's coming would not be in their day. They were shown it would not be in their day. And they were to prophesy of it too. For a future generation that was to come would see of the things of which they had spoken. And that's what Peter says in verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. In other words, they were aware a future generation would come to see, and they would live to see Christ coming, and that He had come. And the people to whom Peter is writing lived in that time when these things had come to pass. And it was to those people to whom Peter was now writing that the things of which the prophets have prophesied, it was told them. That's our second point. Announced by the preachers. This subject of great interest was announced by the preachers. Peter reminds these Christians of the preachers who came to them and who reported to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells that to us in verse 12. Now, what do we know about these preachers? We don't know much about them. Their names are not known. But that is also not important. God has many men in His service whose names are not known. Whose names are not known. And that doesn't matter. Our names are not so important. But we are told not their names, but we are told what they preached. And that is much more important. And we are told that they preached the gospel, Peter writes, in verse 12 in the middle. They preached the gospel. So they preached that there was salvation. A great salvation from sin and all its consequences. There is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ who shed His blood. And through His blood there is forgiveness from all sin. And this same Jesus they preached was raised from the dead, and He has all power in heaven and on earth. And they preached that He is able to save to the uttermost all those who come unto God by Him. They preached the gospel. That means that they preached of God, their Maker and their Judge. They preached who they were, sinners, what sin had done. But they also told this name, Jesus Christ, and what He had done to purchase salvation. And they also spoke of how a sinner is made a partaker of Christ, of that salvation. And how is it that a sinner comes to experience deliverance from sin, and from guilt of sin, and from the dominion of sin, and from the punishment of sin? They preach that through faith. And they also preach that there is a day coming when that full salvation will be experienced for all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation that would come at His second coming. That's what they preached. They preached the gospel. They preached a faithful message. They had been faithful to the truth
of the gospel. They did not preach another gospel, for that has happened too. Paul tells us of that in Galatians 1 verse 7. And there Paul is saddened that these people to whom he is writing had come under another gospel. And he says that there be some that trouble you, and there are some who would pervert the gospel of Christ. But that was not the case with these people to whom Peter is now writing. They have heard a faithful gospel. What if they had not heard a faithful gospel? Well, then they would still be living without hope. Then they would still be lost. Then they would still be without the blessings that flow from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they would be a poor people, like so many other people in the world. But now they did hear the gospel. They did hear the news of salvation. They heard the news of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much more news and other kind of news is spread throughout this world? Well, the world has so much news to spread. The world has so much news to tell. And gossip. They have 24-hour news stations. They have hourly newscasts. The world has so much to tell of itself and of what's happening. But all the news tells us of is problems and some kinds of solutions. But the world will never tell us the deepest problem. And we should not expect the world to tell us the deepest problem either. But that means that so many people don't know the deepest problem. And that means that so many people also don't know the greatest remedy either. The world does not tell of the salvation in Christ Jesus, the way of escape from the wrath to come. The world does not tell of the way to be reconciled to God. Do you see now what a great privilege these people there in North Turkey had to hear the gospel? They heard the gospel. Do you see how great a privilege you have? You may hear the gospel. And you may hear a faithful gospel. And though you may be in trying times in your life, and though you may have untold difficulties, and maybe that's how you came up to God's house also this day, as these early Christians there in North Turkey also had trying times, there is someone who tells them the gospel, and then there is someone else who says you are blessed. A people who may hear the gospel, they are blessed, aren't they? That's what the Lord Jesus says, Matthew 13, verse 16 and 17. Blessed are your eyes, for they may see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear of those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. You see, this is what the prophets had foretold. And the prophets had longed to see these things, and they had longed to hear these things, and you may hear it. Why may you hear it when so many other people have never heard the gospel? When they have heard so much other news, when they have heard so many other ideas, but you may hear the gospel. This is what the prophets had longed to hear of, and you may hear it. The prophets had foretold this to come, and you may live in the day when it has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever come to wonder why you may hear the gospel? God has seen fit to give you to hear this news, when what do you deserve? You deserve no word from God. You and I deserve to hear no word of gospel, no word of grace. We only, if we deserve to hear anything, we deserve to hear the thunderings of God's condemnation, for we are lawbreakers. Do you see that your ears may be exposed to the good news? Do you see that your ears may hear what many have counted as
a subject of great importance. Why have you and I heard it? You and I, sinners, have you ever come to see the goodness of God? Have you come to see the goodness of God in giving you the Word? And has that Word also melted your heart? Has that Word also had a saving effect upon you? For that's what happened with these people in North Turkey. They had the gospel preached to them by these preachers, but God was pleased to bless it. For the gospel was accompanied with the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter tells us. With the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So the Holy Spirit brought the gospel home. The Holy Spirit applied the gospel to their hearts. And no man who has ever had the gospel come with power to him, who has come to see the suitability of Christ, no man has ever regretted the Holy Spirit has done that. What a blessing it is, and it has been, when the Holy Spirit has come to apply that Word. And perhaps as Peter is writing these words with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, he thinks back to that day in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. There were these known preachers, Peter and James and John. And then the Word was accompanied with the Holy Spirit. But then there in North Turkey were these unknown preachers. But the gospel came with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And that's how their minds were illumined. That's how their hearts were opened. And their will was bent. And room was made for the Lord Jesus. And their hearts embraced Him. Do you see what we are needing? Shall we not seek it also from the Lord? The Holy Spirit. The Word of God accompanied with the Holy Spirit. Is that something you ask often from the Lord? Is that how you come up to the house of God? That the Lord would apply that Word to you? Or are you looking to the minister to do that? Are you counting on a moving story, perhaps, to change your heart? Peter tells us this is what we need, the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And when we listen to what these preachers have done, then we should stand still by one thing yet before we go further. What is that? We need to see the unity of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We need to see the unity of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament preachers. For when they came to people, they came with the same message. They preached the same gospel. True, there was a different clothing, you might say, but it was the same message. The one anticipated Christ was to come, and the other preached the Christ had come. But the same message was brought. The grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the unity between the Old and the New Testament. Now, why should we stress this? Well, because sometimes you hear, that was just the Old Testament. And so many people look down on the Old Testament Scriptures. And people divide the Scriptures. And they do not study the Old Testament. You know what that means? It means that many people have only half a Bible. They don't realize that God has spoken with two lips. He has spoken with the Old Testament and with the New Testament. But both the Old Testament and the New Testament preach the same message. And both are needed to shed light on Christ and His work. And both need to be searched. And both need to be studied. And both tell us of Christ and of the future that awaits God's people. We should be a people of the Scriptures. Both Old and New Testament, sitting at the feet of the prophets and at the feet of the apostles, listening in both to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Peter adds one short phrase about angels. We look at that thirdly. This great subject of Christ's salvation is analyzed by angels. He tells us which things the angels desire to look into. So Peter tells us of the angels, and that it is their sincere desire to look into these things, the things of Christ's salvation, the things of Christ's work.
Well, these angels, they could have examined many other subjects. They could have examined many other things. There's a great possible range of subjects that they could study and look at. They could study the universe, for instance, and God's providence in the universe. They could look at men and the power of men. And as men exert their power, straining themselves in the pursuit of greater fame in the sports arena. Or they could look at the battles that are waged in the world on the battlefield. They could pick many other things to study, but the holy angels choose this one subject to study. Christ and His salvation. They long to look into it. And the word for look is a special word. It means to peer into. To peek at something as an outsider. It's like eavesdropping. And people don't know that you are there to eavesdrop. It's like spying. And people don't know that there are others there spying on you. It's the peeking in and the looking at while being an outsider. They're peering in and others don't realize they are looking in. They are not eavesdropping. They are eyes dropping, you might say. And they bend down, these unseen observers, in order to take a closer look. And so these holy angels, they begin to be learners. They're looking, they're peering, and they're peering in order to know. And this is not the first time we see this. It's pictured for us in the Old Testament, isn't it? With the cherubim above the mercy seat of the ark, who are looking down upon that mercy seat. And it is as if when they're looking down, they're trying to penetrate. How is it that God can dwell with sinners? For in the ark, there is the law of God, which condemns. Then there is this mercy seat over it, and the priest comes in to sprinkle blood upon that mercy seat, and these angels look, and they continue to look, and they're trying to grasp it, but they're never done looking at this subject. Do you see the picture given us? These angels peering into the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. But now, why do these angels do this? Do these angels need Christ for their salvation? No. They do not need this salvation. They do not need Christ's blood. They don't need to be redeemed. They are holy angels. They are unfallen angels. And for the other angels who have fallen, there is no hope for them. But these holy angels don't need salvation. But why then do they gaze constantly into the salvation that is in Christ? Well, not because they need salvation then, but because they love what God loves. They care about what God cares about. And what is it that God cares about? First and foremost, the work of salvation. He cares about mercy being shown. And the God whom they serve, He likes to be known. And that's why these angels have taken up this great subject. And they have this great interest in the salvation of Christ, which things the angels desire to look into. But now, why does Peter say all this? Why does he put this here? Why does he tell us about the prophets, preachers, and these angels? And why does he tell us about that here? Because he knows these Christians are suffering people. And he knows they are discouraged. And they face opposition. And what do they need then? No, it's not needful for these Christians to have their persecution come to an end. They do not need the trials to end. No. But the Lord sees that their faith needs to be strengthened. And how is faith strengthened? Well, there are different ways in which faith is strengthened. But one way whereby faith is strengthened is when you let these Christians see the great value of this salvation. The great value of this salvation. Even angels are looking down into this. In other words, Peter can say, you Christians, you may know things that others long to know more about. The prophets, they long to know more of this. That's why they searched. And the preachers preached it, and they also long to know more about. But this is also the chief subject of study for the angels in heaven. Don't be discouraged then. Don't be downcast then. Let your faith be strengthened, for you may know this salvation. And you may know it brought to the heart. And this salvation is a great salvation. The news that you may hear is the greatest news that the world does not value, but that the angels study. There's no greater subject which they study but this. And so these angels study. They study. And they study. They keep peering into this. They continue gazing. They're constantly willing to be instructed. And that means that these angels have come to know a lot. They've come to understand a lot. But they're not satisfied that they stop hearing and they stop looking and they turn away. No, they continue examining. They know a lot. But there is something which they don't know. And there is something that they will never know in a certain way. They will never know this salvation experimentally. They will never know this salvation personally. They will never know this salvation as a fallen sinner who has come to see his need for the blood of Christ so that he might be reconciled to God. They will never come to know their conscience being at ease and then being at peace through the blood of Christ. They will never know sins being forgiven. The angels never come to know this experimentally, so that they lay hold of Christ with a condemned soul. You and I need that. You and I need to lay hold of Christ as condemned sinners. And you and I may come to know this, but the holy angels never will come to know it this way. Still they seek to know. Still they seek to understand. When they look, they don't look for a short time, and they're distracted after a short time by many other things. No, they fix their eyes on it, and not just half an eye, but both eyes are persistently looking on. And it is no wonder that the angels admire these things, and they delight to look on these things. It is no wonder. But is it not strange that we don't look as they look? And let me address myself to those who do not know Christ in a saving way. Let me address myself to those who do not know Christ. Do you see these angels looking on? Do you see them peering in? Compare yourself now for a moment with these angels. Compare yourself to them. Compare your activity to the activity of the holy angels. What interests you? What takes up your heart? What concerns you? Do you see these angels? They do not need salvation, yet they are eager to know about this salvation. And they desire to be instructed continually in this salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And do we not do that? Do you not do that? Do you not bend your knees and seek to know this salvation? Do you turn your eyes to foolish things? Do you glance and gaze upon things that angels would be ashamed to gaze at? That would make angels blush. Do we bow to the earth, to the things of the earth? We taken up with the things of time and sense, and not the unsearchable riches of Christ, the pearl of great price? Oh, surely this must be a wonder to the angels, that men who need this salvation ignore it, and ignore it to their own peril. And having heard the gospel, that there are men who perish in eternal misery, and they must wonder, why do they do that? But still they study, not so much the damnation of souls, as they study the salvation of the souls in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if this is their interest, and if both eyes are fixed on this, will you only give half an eye? Every once in a while? Will you despise this? What the angels do not need, but you need. Why would you despise what angels look into? Amen.